Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Clapback with yours truly. I will have to thank you guys because so far, last week's, well, New Year's Eve episode was the highest viewers on the episode this far with this series of Clapback. So thank you guys for listening so far, and hopefully this number will increase tonight, but hey, we can only hope if it can. So once again, last week's episode, the highest viewers that we have on Clapback so far. I hope we can keep up the good work. Our guest tonight, he'll be on shortly. We couldn't do it by phone, but the thing is, we're going to have to do it on Skype, so I'm going to try to put the phone right by the laptop so y'all can hear what he's saying and all that good stuff. So, again, check out our website, www.wrestlingfanspeakout.com, for news, events, and all that good stuff. And also look for us on YouTube, subscribe to our videos on YouTube, and also follow us on Twitter as well. So we're just going to give it a minute and just wait on him to call. So give it a minute.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. I'm running cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep.
And here we go. We're back. Without further ado, here is Mike the Match Hart. So, what's going on, Mike?
How are you? Thank you guys very much for having me on your podcast.
Oh yeah, no problem. So, what's been good with you?
That's right. Let's see here if I can switch this up.
Okay.
Can you see me okay?
Hold on a sec. Let's see. Okay, there we go. Although you're doing this by camera phone, so.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
no. Turn my camera on.
Yeah, so hey, it worked out after all. So, for the people that don't know who you are, you can go ahead and remind them of who you are.
Okay, well, I'm a third-generation wrestler. I'm a part of the Hart family. Smith Hart is my father. Brett and Owen Hart were my uncles. Harry Smith and Natty Neidhart are both relatives of mine. They're cousins of mine. So.
Okay, it seems like you're all over Canada and all that stuff. So what promotions that you have wrestled for in Canada?
I've sort of wrestled everywhere. It all started for me with a company called Rough Wrestling International for a guy named Chuck Simpson. And then it just kind of spread from there. I was actually training at a school here in Ontario called the Hart Brothers School of Wrestling, which is my father's school. And I was very fortunate enough to meet a guy named Eddie Osborne, who ended up founding PWA Wrestling here in Kitchener and all across Ontario. And I trained with those guys, and they put on, you know, one hell of a show, and I'm very happy to be a part of that company. PWA's been growing a lot, and it's really good to see, considering we all came from the same place and basically had nothing.
Oh, okay, so just started from there and just... kind of work your way up. Is that what you were saying?
Pretty much, yeah. It's been a fun experience. I've got to see all of Ontario and parts of Canada that I normally probably would never have seen if it wasn't for wrestling. So wrestling really helped me in a lot of ways of seeing, you know, where I came from in Canada and stuff. And, you know, just being able to see different people and, you know, different cities and provinces and stuff. I've been really lucky.
Have you ever wrestled in the U.S. before?
Yes, I have. I actually had one of my very first matches in Lockport, New York, and it was for the NWA, and it was quite the experience for me because I, you know, had only been training a few months at that point, and I was given an opportunity to go to New York, and it was a really fun match. It was a learning experience for me. I was wrestling a guy named Elian Habanero, and you know, he pretty much carried that whole match for me, and you know, I was very respectable towards him even today because he did a lot for me that day, and we actually made the Lockport Journal paper, which was quite incredible. They had a guy, they had Repo Man there, and out of all people, it was like me and the Elian Habanero who made the paper, and it was, you know, I was quite humbled about that because I'd just been starting with the wrestling professionally, and like I said, it was one of my very first matches, and here we are making the paper, so I would love to go back to the States.
Well, hopefully somebody will bring you in the States soon or later, or I may have to talk to some people to see, but we'll get to that later. But, of course, your family, were they the ones that got you into wrestling?
Sorry, the Hearts?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part, like, nobody was ever really pressured to wrestle. It was just sort of there, and you were sort of in awe of seeing all these, like, big bodybuilders almost coming through Stu's. And, you know, it's left an impression on me for sure. And when I got the opportunity to come to Ontario here to my dad's school, I jumped all over it because I was just waiting for that opportunity.
Right. So I know it wasn't something you wanted to do, but it was just there, as you were saying, right?
Absolutely. And there was training going on. And, you know, being a kid, it's like, okay, the cousins are doing it. And, you know, they're bringing in all these outsider people, like friends and people they go to school with, and they're interested in it. It's like, you know, and then you get involved, and it's just like, now I get it. Now I know why they like it so much.
What was the hardest thing for you to do when it came to training?
Just sort of remembering spots, and in the beginning for me it wasn't always easy to remember stuff because I was just sort of thrown in the mix. Like when I first showed up at the wrestling school, people automatically assumed I was a trained guy, and I've had, you know, all this experience because I grew up, you know, on the Heart, and it was never like that. I was never really invited to train with my uncles. My dad sort of never really allowed me to train in the dungeon with Bruce and Ross and all that. I think he had other ideas for me, and there was a lot of Hearts there at the moment that were training and getting noticed, and I think my dad just wanted to take a different approach with me.
Probably just wanted you to do something different, so I can understand that.
Yeah.
Let's see, your very first show, how nervous were you when you did your very first show?
I was more nervous about the reaction of the crowd because I was always like a small guy, especially when I first started out. I was a lot smaller than I was, and I think I was my worst critic the most. But it was seeing the crowd for the first time and getting the reaction from how they'd accept me, you know.
All right, who was the person you faced in your first match, and for those that didn't see it, how did it go?
I actually believe it was a guy named Hornet and a guy named Rip Impact. And I believe it was a three-way match, and the match went pretty smoothly. Like I was in there with a bunch of guys at the time that were learning themselves, but they've both become veterans of this sport we call wrestling. And just to look back on it now and see where those two have come and where I've come, it's like, you know, it's I'm very humbled to be a part of stuff like that.
Okay. Something that you, I think it was you and your cousin have put it out there, I think is Mike Hart for WWE. Explain to everybody what that is about.
It's a campaign that was started by a guy named Tor Hart, who's I want to give a shout-out to right now. He's not doing so well. He's in a Florida hospital battling double pneumonia. So my prayers are with you and your mom, Sherry. I love you guys very much. But he started a campaign, and there's another lady involved, Jackie, and she lives in the UK, and Tor started this campaign, and Jackie's come on board to sort of help. And we've had other people come on as admins, and it's just exploding, man. It's, you know, I always look at it like, you know, maybe this is my break. Maybe this is my chance to people know who I am now. So it's, you know, it's good, and it gets people fresh eyes on me, and fresh promoters can see me. And, you know, I'm still a fresh guy. I'm still learning, and I've had a little bit of years of experience now that I can bring to their shows. So, you know, it's not just beneficial to me, it's beneficial to the promoters too, because I'm a pretty good crowd pleaser, so.
That's good. The match that you have been in, like, what would be your, we're going to get to your worst match first, so what was your worst match that you had?
I don't know if I really had a bad match. I just think it was more of a learning experience for me. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus and start mentioning names because they were learning too at the same time, but
okay.
We both sort of came up together and we were learning and we've had matches since and you know, they've been better, and there's just some people you just don't click with in wrestling, and it happens to some, you know, it happens to some of us, and some of us are even friends and we just don't seem to mesh well, or maybe it's because we're nervous, you know, or maybe it's because there's just so much anticipating on that match that you expect it to be something high caliber, and when it's not, you just sort of let yourself down. But every day is a learning experience. I don't say I have bad matches. I have learning matches. Every opponent I'm in the ring with is very different from the next guy, so I just take it and learn, and, you know, things happen in a match that, you know, happen, and you just kind of go with the flow, and, you know, you learn from it all, so.
Yeah, that's fair enough to say. Okay, we'll get to what will be your, the best match that you had so far.
Well, my matches seem to be getting better and better, but one of the highlight matches that always stood out for me is July 19th for PWA is the 9-year anniversary show where I'd been wrestling the Chief Idee. And we had sort of had a feud for about a year before I finally won the belt from him. But that was probably one of the funnest storylines I've been a part of. And they're starting, you know, more storylines with me now with a guy named Eric Kearney. And he's another up-and-coming guy that really deserves respect, too. He's paid his dues, and he's pretty much wrestling all over Ontario for every promotion. So, but Chief Idee and the Lilac family, Lenny Lilac and his band of bad guys there, they really tested Mike Hart and Team Hart for about a year, and I finally won the belt. It's it was really fun, and it's been fun, and I look forward to many more years with PWA and the storylines and the feuds.
Yeah, so winning their championship, like, what other titles have you won so far?
Well, I was with a tag team, myself and a guy named Joey Valentine for a couple of years. We were known as the Heartbreakers, and we won the championship in Brooklyn, Ontario for EWLS, and we never ever actually lost those belts. We were just sort of stripped of them. And we also won the tag team titles in Cornwall for a company called Mecca Pro Wrestling. And me and my brother, Matt Hart, who's on Facebook as the Black Hart, we actually won the tag titles for a company in Toronto, Megan Boys Entertainment. They're pretty much responsible for bringing all the big names in and running a pretty productive show. Like, their production values are through the roof. So I've been quite happy and quite fortunate to be able to have these titles, and just because you have a last name doesn't make it easier. It makes it harder, actually.
Okay.
I like the challenge, though. It's fun.
That's good, because you got to enjoy what you're doing just to keep going into it. So I can
absolutely
understand that. Like, anybody from, like the big names or anything like that, who have you faced a big name so far? If you have.
Yeah, in 2011, actually, for it was the Carrot Cup. It was done by PWA as well. Me and my partner, Joey Valentine, we wrestled Tommy Dreamer and Rhino. and that was quite the experience. And then my dad brought back Stampede Wrestling here to Ontario and Barrie, and Fit Finley was there, and Harry Smith, my cousin, and I was in the ring with Fit Finley, and it was really humbling because you stay in the ring, and he pretty much put me against about 30 different guys because I think he saw something in me that maybe he saw in himself, or maybe he saw, you know, potential star there or something. But it was quite humbling to be able to sit in that ring and actually work with 30 different guys I'd never been in the ring with. And Fit Finley's like, "You're doing really good." You know, all these other guys didn't really get a really good lasting impression from Fit Finley, but I was pretty humbled because I don't even think he even knew at the time I was Smith Hart's son. So it was just like he didn't even know me as a Hart. He was just complimenting me and being nice, which was really cool because he didn't know who I was at first. So.
Oh, okay. Like, were there any other wrestlers out there that had inspired you so far?
Absolutely. I'm really intrigued with Dolph Ziggler. I really like his character, and I really like the way things have sort of been going for him. It's really hard to see the sort of barriers WWE puts in front of him. Because, like, he is one of their probably better wrestlers on the roster. I mean, the guy is just a complete workhorse, you know, along with Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. And WWE has a lot of good guys I don't think they know what to do with. You know, and it's very unfortunate. Like, now all of a sudden they're sending Curtis Axel down to NXT.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, for a guy that was getting The Rock ready for WrestleMania 30, he should have more of a push. I mean, he's a pretty damn good wrestler, and he's Kurt Hennig's son to boot. And the Michael McGillicuddy name, and I can understand the Curtis Axel, but it's like, why not give these guys, you know, a real background? Let's not kayfabe too much on the name.
Right.
Because who's McGillicuddy? You know, like, where'd that all come from and stuff. The Curtis Axel I can understand because of his grandfather and his father, but, you know, he's a really good wrestler to be underutilized like that.
Right, also being the former Intercontinental Champion as well. But if you had the opportunity with the guys that you mentioned to book them or whatever, what would you do in that position?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saying the guys that you had named, what would you do if you were, like, an owner or chairman or whatever of WWE, for example? Like, what would you do in that position for those guys you had named?
I think I'd just open more doors for them, you know, because I think if WWE doesn't start producing younger guys, then they're just going to have the same rosters of John Cena's. And, you know, it's nice to see WWE opening the doors for the guys like Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. And I just don't understand why they're not doing it with their established guys already, like the Curtis Axels, you know, the Mark Henrys, the, you know, you're bringing in fresh faces, giving them all these pushes. But meanwhile, it took Mark Henry, what, 15 years to win a world title.
Right.
You know, now his career's coming to an end, so it's like, I just think that they should be opening the doors for guys like that and giving them more of an opportunity. These guys pay their dues every day, you know, breaking their back 300 days a year. You know, you're not really getting noticed or much of a push. You're just sort of, you know, floundering in the wings, basically.
Right. You did mention, like, the 300 days that WWE has due a year. Do you think you'd be able to handle that type of schedule if you end up getting a contract with WWE?
Well, that's the thing with WWE. They say it's 300 days, but that's 300 days you're wrestling. That doesn't include interviews, and that doesn't include going to cable outlets or doing autograph signings or going to Comic-Con. So a lot of the times, guys have a day off here, but they're actually doing, like, interviews or, you know, Make-A-Wish, or a lot of the stuff they do is on their days off as well. That's how they sort of fit it into their schedule. You know, do I think I can handle that? I think I've prepared myself over the years to sort of get into a routine, but I really won't know unless I have that opportunity. Unless I'm put in that situation, I really don't know how the schedule will be. I mean, I've heard about the schedule and how exhausting it is, but I'm always a person. All my friends say, "Mike, you've got way too much energy," and I don't know where the hell you get your energy from. And it's, you know, I'm an early riser and I'm a late sleeper. I don't, you know, I don't take my life for granted, and I don't like to sleep too many hours away. It's only here once, and I like to appreciate it. So to all the friends that think I have too much energy, I do.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that, so, like...
I think I can handle their schedule, though. I'm not saying, you know, downright out. It'd be definitely hard and challenging. I know TJ and Natty, you know, they got a lot of stuff going for them with Total Divas and all that stuff, too. And, you know, it's exhausting for them, but they're doing it, and they're young and healthy, and, you know...
Right, and I take it like the experience, like watching them, what they go through, had like taught you something in the long run. Am I right?
Well, some of the storylines they've had for Natty and TJ are a little humiliating, you know. Like,
yeah.
It's just since the Hart Dynasty sort of disbanded and Harry went to New Japan and started his own thing, they really haven't done much with Tyson Kidd, and I just think that they're underutilizing him and such a good talent, you know. And I think that they should be giving him more of an option. You know, I'm more of a push.
Right, I'm thinking something maybe like mid-card level, maybe push to that next level so I can be preparing him. So
something, you know, I think WWE's missing the point here. Like, the one thing that killed WWE back in the day was the cruiserweights in WCW, and a lot of people forget about all that. The one thing WCW had that WWE never did was the cruiserweights. And they had some pretty good talent there, and I think they have a lot of good talent with the NXT, like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville, and I think if they utilize those guys and give them a bit of a platform, that they might be blown away by, you know, because look at NXT, look at the numbers going out of there, look at the matches those guys are having, they're amazing. And that's all Triple H rating those shows. So I think if Triple H took on Raw, started writing Raw, you might see a big difference in television viewership and ratings and all that, and even matches for that matter.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. So if you had the experience, like, wait, let me change this. Have you ever been down to NXT?
No, I have not. I had the option to go to a WrestleMania with my father, and unfortunately, there's some other things on my end that just didn't make it work, and I've never really had the opportunity to go to Florida. Just being busy, being a, you know, husband and father of kids and stuff keeps me pretty busy, and trying to keep a job along with a wrestling schedule has been hard. So if I can get a break, you know, maybe down the line or something, I'll definitely jump on that. But no, I've never been there.
Oh, okay. So you were comparing a little bit of NXT and WWE, so... Probably for more information on your comparison of NXT and WWE and the indies.
What's my comparison on it?
Yeah, all three.
Well, I think the indies have, I think wrestling's getting bigger, to be honest with you now. I think you're going to see a lot of good things coming out of NXT. I think the writers for WWE Raw and WWE SmackDown need to start taking some tips from Triple H, because Triple H is blowing the numbers away with his NXT product, and I don't think Raw knows what they're doing. I was very disappointed with Raw yesterday and how disrespectful they were of Legion of Doom. And I just, you know, for a guy like Rick Victor, he was trained in the Dungeon, and he wrestled for about eight years with Stampede Wrestling, known as Apocalypse. I just think that was a bad taste for him to be, you know, even making comments about something like that. And I know it's all storyline and stuff, but some wrestlers have a say in what they should and should not say, and I just don't think that was very appropriate for them to mention Hawk in that matter. Or even try and make duplicate copies. Like, I know... with WWE, they like to recycle stuff and bring stuff back, and maybe it is good for business, who knows, but coming out like the Demolition and Legion of Doom and then saying Hawk sucks or something like that, I thought that was very, just something that they shouldn't have mentioned, you know?
Right, exactly, that he's not living anymore, so, yeah, I do agree with you on that.
Disrespectful, because, you know, the LOD, they held every single major title there ever was, and I'm talking NWA, AWA, like real... back in the day promotions, and they held all those titles, and I think, you know, they both should be respected for their contributions to wrestling and not looked at for injuries that they occurred during their wrestling days, where they were almost forced to take prescription drugs just to keep going. And unfortunately, when you live that life and you're wrestling 300 days a year and, you know, you're getting injured and stuff, what's the only thing you can do? You can't tell Vince McMahon, I can't wrestle, so you take a few pills, and then it just becomes a problem for some guys, and some guys just never get over that hump. you know, and it's very unfortunate, but I don't think that they should be using anybody's addictions or death or anything, you know, for ratings or anything like that. I think it's a very, very low way of promoting yourself.
Right. Yeah, because I can understand that, because, like, with Vince McMahon, of course, it's always all about the money, and especially that podcast that he did with Steve Austin, because I'm thinking, like, maybe some of the stuff he was blowing out in smoke. Have you seen the podcast or heard of it?
I did watch it. I actually have the network here in Canada, and I watched it on the network, and I was really, you know, Steve Austin really shot hard on his words and really looked at Vince hard about the Macho Man being inducted, and really gave him that look like, well, is it gonna happen? Because, I mean, let's face it, there's so many guys in that Hall of Fame that shouldn't be in there. Macho Man definitely needs to be in that Hall of Fame.
Your uncle, just, too, yeah.
There's just so many guys that you wonder how they got there before Macho Man or even the Ultimate Warrior, for that matter. And, you know, guys like the Hart Foundation or the British Bulldogs or stuff, there's just so many people that deserve to be in there. And now all of a sudden Drew Carey's in there and Adam, you know, it just, I know it's a celebrity thing, but it just almost makes the Hall of Fame look Mickey Mouse.
Because, like you said, like with Drew Carey, Pete Rose, and Mr. T, and a few of those celebrities, it's just like, they might as well just have their own separate thing for
exactly.
them.
Exactly, I understand that some of those guys were maybe a part of history, but, Mr. T, I can understand being in the Hall of Fame, and I can understand maybe Cyndi Lauper, but I don't understand Pete Rose and Drew Carey, and why, because Kane Tombstone Pete Rose twice or something, like, that deserves a Hall of Fame induction, you know, I just little silly stuff like that, like, I don't see him paying his dues, you know, and I can understand, too, why CM Punk left, too. There's a lot of frustrations about main spots and top spots for WrestleManias and guys coming in and taking the spot, taking the payday and leaving, and these guys work their ass off for 300 days a year for that one little moment.
Right, exactly.
You know, just, what's it really worth? Like, all these guys work their tail off for that WrestleMania moment, and some of these guys aren't even getting that moment, and you know damn well they deserve to be in the moment.
Right, or just don't even be on it at all. I think I got two more questions, because I know time is almost up, and I know you have some things
okay.
to do. So, from the experience that you saw, like, with WrestleMania, so it's like, what do you think a moment you would have if you ever get the chance to main event WrestleMania, in your opinion?
Honestly, I always maybe thought I'd be in a ring with a guy like CM Punk or Antonio Cesaro or somebody, or maybe even Seth Rollins. I just think those guys are the future of wrestling, and you know, and you always look at guys like Triple H, like, you know, but you don't really look at it because you think, oh, maybe that'll never happen. But if there ever was a moment for me at WrestleMania, it'd be Triple H for sure. Just because I want to show him where I came from, and not all the hearts are all bad. And, you know, you can get over the hump of trying to bury us all now. It's over, you know, it's like time to move on. And you pretty much proved your point by marrying Stephanie McMahon. I think it's time now where, you know, you give a little bit of a chance to prove themselves, because you're giving up on these great wrestlers, and all because of one little mistake. Maybe you didn't like Brett, or maybe you don't like Brett now or something, but Brett contributed a lot to wrestling, and a lot more than Triple H ever did.
Yep,
you know,
exactly. I do
agree
with that.
You know, we all pay our dues in our own ways, but Brett really was there from the beginning and really paid his dues, and you know, I'm not saying Triple H never did either, because he did. There was a time when he had to pay for that Gardens, but I don't even know if he even paid, really, because they pretty much, what, a year later gave him the Intercontinental belt, like, so he was, like, living in shitty waters, as Vince would like to say, for a year, but, you know, big deal, he lost Ultimate Warrior in 9 seconds or something. It's like, well, what else do you think was going to happen? The Warrior deserved that, you know, and everyone shit on Warrior because he came in there and said, no, this is a squash match, and Triple H was trying to go through all these, you know, moves and stuff, and you know, Warrior's agreeing with him, and then going to the match and saying, that's not happening, this is what's happening. Who's a veteran in that ring, you know? Like, Triple H nowadays, if he was wrestling a guy like Adrian Neville and Neville screwed up, it's like, who's a veteran? Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania 9 or whatever that was, when Triple H wrestled, who was the veteran in that match, you know? And Triple H was trying to call stuff and do stuff, and, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. Look, it's a squash match, and that's it.
Right, exactly. And although you were out of time, I do thank you for being on here and letting me get the chance to interview you. Hopefully we can get you and the family at times interviewing everybody or whatever. So hopefully we can work something out with all of you.
Absolutely.
Included.
It was really good to meet you guys, and WFSO is, you know, means a lot to me, and I appreciate the time, and I just want to thank a few people, if that's okay. I'd like to thank PWA for the opportunity for wrestling in Ontario. I'd like to thank yourself, R12 Jones, and JP Zaman. I'd also like to thank my brother, Tor Hart, Jackie Wilkes, for everything they do for the campaign, and my other brother, Corey Hart, and Rusty the Rich. I know you're listening, and without you guys, there'd never be a Team Hart, and there'd never be me, and all the amazing fans in the world that continue to support my page, Mike the Match Hart, and the Mike Hart for WWE page. I thank you guys all for that. And I thank you for this podcast, man. Without this podcast, people would never get to hear my story or ever know who I am. So thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah, no problem. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. And if there's anybody I can get on your podcast family-wise, just let me know and I'll try and make that happen.
Hey, just go ahead and try to do that. And whoever it is, just let me know.
All right, cool, man.
All right, thank you
very
much.
Thank you very much.
You have
Cheers,
a good
God bless, eh? Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, and have a good one.
Take care, man. Thank you.
All right. Hey, that was Mike the Match Hart, ladies and gentlemen. Probably for the people that did download this show, of course you just heard like the full thing about it for and stuff. So also you can download our past episodes. Either from iTunes for free, or you can go to Block Talk Radio, or after I'm done here, I'm going to post it up, and you can just see or listen to the full episode, of course, on here. So, then once again, WrestlingFanspeakOut.com, check out the website, follow us on Twitter, look for us on Facebook, and look for our groups like WFSO Canada, WFSO Australia, and WFSO Midwest and stuff like that. So hopefully this show did break the record of last week's, but hopefully I'll know soon enough. But until then, this is Clapback with yours truly. Y'all have a good night, and y'all get to listen to me this Monday on WFSO Aftermath. And don't forget our other guests we got this week. We were going to have Music Week next week, but that's not going to happen. So let me just run down the list right quick before this station will cut me off. So just give me a second here. I'm just going to list some of the interviews that we got coming in. We have another Canadian indie wrestler, Bulldog Brendan Himes. That just been added besides Music Week. January 20th, they have local indie wrestler, Skylar Reed. And January 27th, we have the owner of a wrestling group called the Sean Scottville. So check that out on here. And like I said, listen to our past episodes and all that bunch. But until then, everybody, have a good night and have a good week.